Everybody, and welcome to the third episode of Queer Podcast. Today, I'll be your host, Sangalodi, and with me, I have Rachel Wangchuk. Rachel, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Rachel Wangchuk, but you can call me Ray, and my pronouns are he, they, any pronouns work, and I am currently a university student, and yeah.
How about your identity? What do you say?
I forgot about that. Thanks for reminding me. I identify as pansexual, but you know, it's pretty fluid. I feel differently on different days, so yeah, it's ever changing.
Okay, that's cool, because I think you're my first fan friend, so that's very exciting. So let's talk about your identity first. How does it feel being a pansexual? You know, have you ever met someone else from Bhutan who's like that, and how would you describe that feeling of being a pansexual?
Let me explain what being pansexual is. It's like, it means that you like people not based on their looks, and mostly on their personality. Like, it doesn't matter like what gender they identify as or what sexuality they identify as. You basically look at the personality. But I'm, like I said, pretty fluctuative, so I do, you know, like, my mood jumps around. So, you know, no sexuality is fluid. I mean, no sexuality is solid. You always, like, feel different types of ways. And I have never met another pansexual person. But I've never met them in person. They're an online friend. So, yeah, shout out to them. They know who they are. But, yeah. So I've never, like, met anyone, like, in a face-to-face, but I have one online friend that is pansexual, and it's pretty cool that they have the same experiences as me, you know? So yeah.
Okay, that's really cool. So how did you like discover that you were pan?
Oh, I think it's when I started like actually dating, and I was like, oh, you know, like I wouldn't mind, like, and I thought I was gay at first, so I was like, you know, I only wanted to date guys, but then, like, you know, after a while, like, oh, I realized that I kind of don't mind dating girls as well. And then, you know, that realization came up to me that I don't really care about, like, anything else. I like, you know, I just want someone that I can, like, talk to and, you know, like, have an understanding partner, you know? So, yeah, I think that's how I came to the realization that I don't really care about anything else. And, yeah, personality is the best. So, yeah.
Oh, you know, I wanted to be pansexual at first because I thought that was a choice, and then I thought about dating girls. No, that's a big no.
It is not a choice, I don't think, because, you know, yeah. You can't control who you are attracted to, sadly, right? It is your own body's wishes. You can obviously force yourself to like someone, but that obviously will not turn out good. So, yeah.
So when it comes to your dating life, how would you describe it? You know, what does dating mean to you at first?
For me, I personally feel like it's pretty complicated. I don't think I'm a good partner, to be honest. So that is one reason why I don't really date, I would say. Like, for me, dating is it's a hassle. And then all my past relationships can confirm that I lose the will to be a good partner after a while. And I blame myself for that. That is 100% my fault. But, you know, I can't be a good partner because I have too many needs that I need. I need a lot of space. And if they can't give me that, I will feel like I'm under a lot of pressure. And for me, dating is something that I feel comfortable around, right? Like both of us need to feel like really good. So that's why, like, I feel that for me, dating is something that, like, it's a mutual understanding, and like you come to a mutual agreement where, like, everything is just like nice and everything is not a hassle for me, at least. That is how I view things. I don't like the traditional method of, like, oh, you know, I'm gonna confess to them and then, oh, we're gonna talk every day. I don't like that. I will die if I have to do that to someone. So, yeah, that is my idea of dating.
That's really nice, because for me, dating is dating the way I see it in society is, they, you know, they go on one date and they're like boyfriend, they're in a relationship. I'm like, that's not what I want. That's like too fast for me. So that's my perspective, you know, taking things slowly on my own pace. And I think that's quite nice. So yeah. Like out of all the individuals that you've dated, you know, like not minding their sexualities, could you describe how it feels, you know, dating them, different people, different sexualities?
To be honest, I do feel a lot of love for them, and I do enjoy their company. But like I said, sometimes me needing that space does cause a lot of problems. And, you know, I've only found like one partner that really understands my need of space and, you know, has been there. Also, I personally don't, you know, I personally think that, you know, being monogamous is not the way. I think that one partner is, you know, like, good for you if you find your soulmate. But I feel like, for me at least, having, you know, options and having partners are very important, I think. Because, you know, sometimes you can't, I'm not afraid to phrase this properly, but I sometimes feel like, you know, being trapped in one relationship is like not for me. So I think that my partner right now is very understanding, you know, like we talk a lot, but then he gives me space, you know. It's pretty nice. It's like not a hassle for me, and I feel very comfortable with like where we are.
So how important do you think commitment is in a relationship? So there you can take your point.
Okay. For me personally, I personally think that being committed is nice and all, but I don't think monogamy is like, you know, it's not, I don't think it's the way to go personally. I think that polyamory is, you know, pretty out there. It's pretty good. And having multiple partners, you know, it isn't bad, you know, like throughout history, it's been documented. But the thing is, you need to have communication on who and why and what, and you need to be safe, right? Because you don't want to be spreading stuff. So I personally think that commitment is good, and you need to be committed. But thing is, communication also comes with commitment, right? Sometimes you need something else. So I feel like as a part of commitment, you need to be honest to your partner, right? Commitment is like, oh, you're committed to your partner, but I think honesty does come a long way.
Yeah, I do feel that's important, because being honest, I think we all want honesty, but sometimes the situation comes that where we can't be honest. And trust, yes. I think, especially when we're moving towards a relationship, trust is really difficult to have, because, you know, you want to keep looking at wherever they're going, whatever they're doing, but you can't do that. You just trust that they're not cheating on you, they're not doing what you don't want them to do. So yeah, I think it's a hard concept, but yeah, it's very required. So you talked about finding spaces in relationships, right?
Yeah.
So when you do get the space you want, how do you feel? And when you don't, what happens, and what do you do?
Oh my god! When I get this, for me, I'm a really bad texter, and I sleep half the time. I don't pick up phone calls. You know, it's like the bad habits of like a very bad partner. But thing is, that's my form of space, right? That's my mental recharge. Like that is what I do to keep my battery up, and that is something I really need, because last year when I was trying to do my best to be as social as possible and, you know, actually try to be a social human being, I couldn't. And I kind of like fell into a slump and that slowly turned into depression. You know, it was really bad. Like then I realized that I need these moments of space, and my partner at that time did understand that, and then they did give me space. However, you know, at that point, you know, that I wasn't what they were looking for. So, you know, we decided to mutually break up. We're still friends. I'm friends with almost all of my exes, actually, except for one. I think I did make up to them, but, you know, like, the space is very important in a relationship. You cannot, some people are fine with being together all the time, like, and, like, doing everything together. That is fine, right? But some people, they do need the space. And I think you should talk to your partner about this, right? Like, hey, am I being too much, you know? Or are you, like, and if your partner's being too much, you should go and talk to them and be like, hey, you know, what you did today, you know? Like, I didn't feel comfortable. Also, I don't want you coming here every day, you know, like that. I feel like you should have a talk about this, right? Because for everybody, space, the meaning of space is different, right? For me, I don't really like messaging. So if I meet you in person, I'm a different person. I'm trying to fix my ways, obviously, but, you know, I think I am my true self when I am in person. So if I'm in person, I will be a different person, I would say. But, you know, behind the wall of text, I don't like that. So that is my former space. And, you know, when you get the space you deserve, I think you will be the happiest. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree, because at some point in a relationship or a friendship, you're going to need space, you know, because all the time together, I think that's why families, you know.
Yeah. That's why families do fall out sometimes. Because, okay, lockdown scenario, right? In Bhutan, like, there's been a lot of, like, sexual violence cases, right? Not sexual violence, sorry. Like, assault cases. Like wives beating their husbands beating their wives, you know? Like, I think that is due to the lack of space they are getting right now, right? Because usually, sometimes, you know, like, they're doing stuff separately, right? And I think that is a form of healthy space, right? Because, like, you're not always together, but I think the lockdown has forced many, many people to come to terms that they will always be together, right? And I think that causes a lot of rifts in relationships, and that is, like, you know, space. So, yeah. Space is needed everywhere.
And I think that the point that you pointed out before, that we're a bad boyfriend because you're not, you know, communicating in Messenger. I think that's not exactly a bad point, but it's the essence of who you are, your preferences in communicating. So I think that's not actually bad, but you're just being the person that you are. So yeah, yes. I think that's...
Well, bad by society standards, right? Because I personally don't think it's bad. But, like, I do try to communicate, you know, I try to tell them, you know, I'm really bad at messaging. So yeah, you know, like, I think... Some people do have the idea that, oh, dating, oh my God, I have to talk to that person all the time. No, you don't have to. I don't think so.
Yeah. So could you tell me about a time that you found yourself not having that space in the relationship and that you had to communicate, and how that communication went through?
Yeah. So, you know, as I was talking about, like, that slump I went through before that, right? My girlfriend at that time. Yeah, you know, like, she definitely helped, you know. We were just online. Like, it was an online relationship, but, you know, like, I didn't talk to her for days on end, and, you know, that isn't what she wanted, right? She did want someone to talk to, but then I was only there some days, right? Because we used to talk on Discord and, like, stuff like that, you know, like, and I wasn't always on Discord, and, like, it was really tiring for me to be talking to people 24/7. So I think she wanted that, right? She wanted someone that she could talk to all the time. But then, like, I didn't really necessarily find that, you know, really. I found that really burdensome. So I did talk to her, and I was like, you know, I don't think, you know, this is going to work out. Like, I need my space, and I know you need someone that gives you their 100%. So, yeah, and we broke it off. So I would say that's pretty healthy. Like, you know, talking. You should always talk it out. And she understood, right? Like, that we weren't good for each other, right? So, yeah. I feel like talking is pretty important. But also, you know, spaces. Like, I would say it plays a pretty important role in people's, like, dating life.
So were you hurt?
No, not really. Because, I mean, I was lucky. I was hurt, right? But then I don't think it hurt me as much. I personally don't get hurt from relationships because I don't, how do I say it? Like, I don't get hurt because I feel like I used to be so dramatic back then. Like, I used to think that, oh, fairy tale romance, right? And stuff like that. But now I don't really I don't see dating as important. So I didn't think that us breaking up was the end of my life, you know? So it wasn't, like, bad. Obviously, we're still friends. So, you know, that's one thing I do try to, like, maintain with my exes is that, like, you know, we're still friends. I try to, like, be like, hey, I do like you a lot. And I think we're better off as friends, right? Because, and then they understand that. So, yeah.
So, isn't it weird, like, being friends after a relationship? So,
Not really. Not really. I mean, for some people, it's obviously weird because, you know, you go through a lot of stuff during relationships, and for some people, therapy is cutting them off completely, right? But for me, like I said, dating is just like, oh, you know, we're like really good, we're just partners, right? And we're like going through life together. But, you know, like us breaking up and us going our separate ways isn't going to harm anyone. And I did like you a lot. So, you know, being friends, because we were friends, like, at the start, right? So I would like to go back to where we were. Obviously, there are some things you cannot undo. However, I think the quintessence of friendship still remains. And, you know, for me, I do consider my partners all friends. Like, we're, like, the best of friends, right? Like, I find solace in you, right? And, you know, I think breaking up just means that you are, you know, just taking a step back and, like, reassessing, you know, life and your ties with them. So I don't think, personally, that being friends with your exes is a bad thing.
Wow, that's because for me, it would be very weird to be friends with me. X. Yeah, so this is a really new perspective for me, so I'm trying to keep that in mind.
Obviously, this is not for everyone, just saying, like, you know, some people, like, snip it off and move on, sis. For some people, that's, like, the easier method, and that is the recommended method. However, I feel like I don't communicate, but then when I do communicate, it's pretty good communication, so... Sometimes he's bad for you, okay? Sometimes the person is bad for you, and then you have to cut them off completely, okay? I'm not saying that. For me, my relationships were pretty good because they were all my friends, and I really liked them, and they really liked me, you know? It was like, oh, like, we're friends. We're really good friends, right? And we understand each other. But some people, oh, my God, they're toxic. And if you realize that and you break up, oh, cut them off. So that's the difference.
Okay, so... Let's take me, for example. So I've never been in a relationship before. So before I enter one, so I found this guy who I'm really interested in. So what, like, advices would you give me? What would you say, you know?
Advice on what particularly, like?
Someone who's new to relationships.
You know, take it slow. Personally, take it slow. Don't jump in. I had my first relationship and I was like, what, grade 9, I think? It was 9 or 10, I think. And, you know, I was like in the, oh, Taylor Swift, like, romance kind of life back then. You know, that was just clogging my head back then. So, yeah, take it slow. Fairy tale romances do happen, but they're not. Don't expect that from real life. People are regular people. They are not your Prince Charming or Princess Charming. on a white horse, okay? Take it slow. Don't expect too much, but do expect, obviously don't lower your standards to the ground. Do expect a bare minimum. However, do not, your standards should be mid. And you know, like communication, talk to them if there's something wrong, right? Tell them what's wrong. And you have to tell them that, oh, if there's something, if I do something, you have to tell me, right? I feel like that is the bare minimum. Obviously, I don't tell that because like, I personally do think, I don't really have this talk with everyone, but you know, like sometimes, you know, I think the talk is necessary and you should talk it out, right? Before, because like, I feel like talking does, and having good communication makes life easier. So that's like my advice for new people who haven't dated, you know, take it slow, don't expect too much, be safe, and you know, just have, and just take it slow and take it like laid back, you know, like don't make this too serious, because usually first loves don't work out. Not to be that person, it doesn't, but you know, take it slow, and yeah, don't think too much about it, because you will find the right one for you, or the right ones, and yeah, it will come naturally. Don't rush it. Oh, and don't be
go ahead.
Oh, and I was just gonna say, don't be like pressured that everyone else is getting in a relationship, because I don't think you should just go in and date someone just because you have to, just to fit in with other people, because you don't. Being single is nice.
I think, first of all, I will literally take all of that advice and keep it in my mind, like stuff it in my mind, because I need a lot of that advice before I get into a relationship. And the last point that you stated, I think it's really important that you said that, because as someone who has never dated anyone, seeing other people get in relationships, it kind of triggers me. But then I have rushed forward and got into relationships. And I've had, you know, a taste of that bitter medicine that it's not going to be the way I want it to be. So yes, I think that last point is very important, of not being triggered by other people's statuses, you know.
Yes. Be happy for them that they're in a relationship. So be happy for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Being happy. So compared to your first relationship and the relationships you had after that, what is some of the new views that you've been observed, the new emotions that arise?
A lot. Because, you know, like I said, my first relationship was, you know, back in the days when I was just like, oh, fairy tale romance. This person has to be like super hot, super tall, super built. Oh, it was bad. I was in fantasy land, and thank God I dropped from there, because now I don't expect too much, and I don't really, like I said, I think that's the reason why I became pansexual, because like, I didn't have expectations from life, and I think after that I realized, oh, just having someone to relate to and talk to was much nicer, so I think that is what changed, to be honest. Like, I think me going from a toxic, you know, oh my God, when is my Prince Charming gonna come? When am I gonna get kissed in my sleep? Something like that. You know, it turned from that into, oh yeah, this is real life, and I need to and I need to get it together.
Yeah, I think I can connect with what you're saying about fairy tales, because I'm actually transitioning from that phase into a more mature one.
Yes. So, yeah.
So these days you see a lot of people into toxic relationships, right?
Yeah.
What would you say, you know? Like, when they're, if I get in a toxic relationship, what will be the things you'd tell me?
As long as their toxic qualities don't affect you or like the people around them like really negatively. Oh, he has a obsessive OCD cleaning everything, you know, like that's not that bad, to be honest. Unless it obviously gets in the way of life, right? So I personally feel, obviously everyone is, I don't think everyone's the same. Everyone has bad qualities, right? So I think you need to work around them. But some people are just naturally bad for you. And I don't think you should be with them. And I think you need to really take a step back and think, is this person good for me? And will I be with them in the long run? Probably not. And if you cling on to this toxic person and you get married to them, I can say that you guys are going to end up in flames. And then you guys are going to get divorced and be really unhappy. And then, yeah, one of you is going to be left with a child. And the child's going to have a broken family. You know, like this is how that, you know, this is how life works out sometimes. Just because you clung on to them. So I suggest you really think about this and actually, oh my God, actually think about it and be like, hey, am I going to be with this person for the rest of my life? If you think, yeah, you know, think next. Okay. Are they good for me? And if you say no, then how about you say, let me, you know, think about it a bit more. And then once you obviously judge them objectively too, right? Like, hey, just because you're smitten in love with them, don't just be blind to their flaws. You need to take them into account, right? So I do think that you should, as a person, really think about your and if your friends tell you that, you know, that this person is bad, you should listen to them. Most of the time, they are right. Obviously, oh my God, you're like, in your head, you think, oh, I know him the best. No, you don't. No, you don't. So yeah, my advice to you is think about it. Do you want to be unhappy for the rest of your life? If the answer is no, then make the right choice by snipping them off your life.
Okay. Yeah, I think these are all very important points. Because at times we're like, okay, I can change him. And I can-
No. No. You should not have that mentality. Never try to change them. They have to try to change themselves for you. Okay? You cannot change them. They have to have that heart. Another point. If they do try to change their toxic ways for you, then, you know, that is good, actually. I would consider that a pretty good thing. Like me, I'm trying to, like, actually try to keep in contact with people. Try. It's very hard. So I feel like, not to toot my own horn, but I feel like trying is the try was there, right? So I feel like you should take that into account, right? So yeah, never try to change them, please. Bad.
So yeah, before we end this podcast, this episode, do you have any last words?
I don't know. Okay, like, as a last advice, you know, follow the philosophy of never
your past your past relationships.
Oh, what was I gonna say? I forgot now.
Sorry. Yeah.
Oh yeah, my last advice to you is, you know, take it slow. You'll find someone. Like, you'll just say you will find anyone in life, but you should not go for the second option. Never. Always try to find the best for you and what's best for you, right? That was best for you twice, sorry. Always trying to find the best for you and always, like, you know, try to look for someone that will bring out the best in you. And yeah, cut the toxic people off and keep your expectations to a bare minimum.
Okay, so yeah. Oh, that was a flying kiss from Rachel at the end. So yeah, cutting off toxic people. So that was a very healthy conversation from a very interesting perspective of a pansexual individual. So yes, thank you so much, Rachel, for your time today. And yes, please share, like, and subscribe, and share this video, and stay tuned for more queer conversations to this podcast. Thank you.